tantalk.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Here come the judge.
Here come the judge.
Here come the judge. I never knew the words of that song other than here come the judge. I always think of Sammy Davis Jr. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy and my partner, Big Ed Davis, thank you very much for being with us. It is Monday, October the 4th. In a few minutes, Jessica Malugan is going to join us of the Competitive Enterprise Institute, and we're going to talk about how the free market itself can solve all these censorship and content questions on platforms like, you know, Facebook and YouTube and Instagram. Do we need the federal government interceding? She thinks not. So we will talk with her about that. And Senators Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema in the crosshairs of the liberals these days, as both of them, moderate Democrats, both of them hold off on those mind-boggling trillion-dollar packages. You know, they're like the only ones that are sticking their thumbs in the dike to keep the thing from collapsing, for the dike from collapsing, and all of that money being spent by those nuts in Washington, D.C. We're going to get some thoughts on this and other things from the proprietor of the Barber Poll a little bit later in the show, Andrew Ceraci. And we played Here Come the Judge, didn't we, start of the show? The Supreme Court is convening for what may be its most important cases in a long time, maybe a generation. So we're going to take a look at some of the cases on their docket. And in our ultimate top 10, what do you guys do? We got all this baseball, we got football, we got playoffs, we got the hockey season starting. You need to know what are the top 10 best-selling beers in America so you can go out there and partake. So we're going to give you the top 10 best-selling beers in America. All right. By the way, Freedom Works, sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop, you guys. It's October. Come on now. You got to look pretty good for the fall. And the best place to get your haircut in Tampa Bay is Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. They're located in the Overcash Plaza on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580 Main Street. Call 727-733-3773 for your appointment. And don't forget Good Morning Clearwater. By the way, I got a little secret for you. You know there's only one person, Paul Allen? He's a ventriloquist. He throws his voice. He does a wonderful job. You would swear there's a woman by the name of Tracy Allen in there. No, it's Paul. And he does Tony, too. He does three or four voices. He is amazing. So listen to him. Good Morning Clearwater, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the Tantalk Radio Network. All right, we got a lot of things going on right now. Among them, the Supreme Court is convening and is slated to decide cases related to several huge issues during this term. First of all, abortion. Abortion. On December the 1st, they're going to hear arguments in something called Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization. It challenges a law in Mississippi that bans most abortions when, quote, the probable gestational age of the unborn human, unquote, the probable gestational age of the unborn human is more than 15 weeks. It bans any abortion after that. So this is a big one. A lot of people think that if the Supreme Court comes down in favor of the Mississippi law, that it opens the gates to ban abortions in this country. I don't know that that will ever occur. However, I do think there's a chance that the Supreme Court will allow every state to make its own determination on abortion, rather than a blanket coverage and permission or green light to abortion based on what they seem to think was some sort of a privacy issue. I mean, it all hinged on the Supreme Court in 1973 saying that this was a privacy issue. I think that that can easily be discounted. It's not a privacy issue if it's a human being involved. No matter if it is linked to a woman or not, if it's a living human being, I don't think the privacy issue is something that you can use, but that's what they used. I would suggest that if they can use privacy as the reason to allow a woman to terminate an unborn child's life, why stop it being unborn? Allow that woman to terminate the child, hey, before the age of reason. What's the difference? Why can't she not have control over that child until then? Do you see? Anyway, there's other cases coming up as well that will be on the docket. As an example, there's a case that will be heard December the 8th on whether or not Maine, you know, the state of Maine, can exclude religious schools from a state tuition program. Another one, New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Bruin, whether the state of New York can order citizens who want a concealed carry license to demonstrate a good reason for having one. Do they need to prove that they need one? Is that what they're saying? I don't think so. I think if you're a citizen and you allow people, certain people, to have a concealed carry weapon, are you going to exclude others unless there's some sort of a mental capacity issue here? That would be rather interesting as well. Anyway, there's a lot of cases, and it's going to be a big thing. The 6-3, so-called 6-3 conservative majority right now is what's scaring the liberals, especially this thing in Mississippi, this abortion case. Because they can't count on John Roberts to slide over to the liberal side anymore. Because even if he does, it's still 5-4 for the conservatives. So, lots of big things coming up with the Supreme Court. And, hey, did you hear about China? You know, what they are doing these days? They're flying all kinds of planes over Taiwan. The State Department said yesterday the U.S. is, quote, very concerned about it, about their provocative military activity, following Red China's most recent air power show near the island of Taiwan. See, we're supposed to be protecting Taiwan. We used to call it nationalist China, and then Red China. Anyway, China has flown like Friday, Saturday, and Sunday a bunch of military aircraft over Taiwan. So they're kind of showing, beating their chest a little bit. We wonder where that's going to go, right? Gotta have to keep an eye on that. All right, let us take our break. And when we come back, Jessica Malugan of the Competitive Enterprise Institute.
For the sunshine sky, and there's a reason why I'm feeling so high.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Remember those great songs from the 50s, 60s, and 70s? Well, then don't miss JT's Oldies But Goodies. Saturdays from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. JT will be playing the greatest hits as well as the forgotten oldies. These records are sure to bring back memories, so tune in and reminisce with JT's Oldies But Goodies, playing songs from three great decades. Saturdays from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
How lucky. Hey, we are back on a Monday and delighted to have back Jessica Malugan, who is director of the Center for Technology and Innovation at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. And if you go to their website, you will see a piece that she has put out there. Let the market make corrections and leave the red tape out of it. She talks about platforms like Facebook and YouTube and Instagram and others. You know, they're private. And we may not like what they do, but they have a right to do it. Jessica, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
Yeah, you know, this is such an interesting topic. And we all get so jumbled up in worrying about censorship, don't we, with these platforms. And particularly conservatives feel that they're, you know, that they're being kind of squeezed out. And I think you mentioned in here, for instance, the, with the pandemic and everything, anti-vaccination content. I guess on YouTube, they don't want anything. YouTube doesn't want to allow a thought on that side of the equation right now, or what?
Yeah, they're getting rid of it. And I think there's a reasonable concern there, right? That there's people who disagree, and we don't like to see those opinions cut out. But I just want to remind everyone that YouTube is not the whole internet, right? It's one piece of it. It's one resource. And what they've done by sort of narrowing the content that they'll carry here is they've created an even bigger opportunity for a competitor to carry that same content. And that's how the market works. That's how the market corrects. So if they make this move to ban it, and enough people are unhappy with that, enough consumers don't like that, that creates a huge financial incentive for someone else, like the sites Rumble or Odyssey, to come along and say, hey, we will host that. Come here. Put your eyeballs here. Let us sell advertising to people based on all these new eyeballs. And that's the thing that keeps YouTube correcting itself. And perhaps one day, you know, those are the things that overthrow the current market leaders. And that's what we want to see, right? We don't think that there are these private business decisions we're never going to disagree with. That's not realistic. There's always going to be people unhappy with that. And in this case, it's a lot of conservatives with a lot of these tech companies' decisions. And those are legitimate complaints. But what we want to make sure happens is that there's a chance for the market to correct and cater to those dissatisfactions, and we don't kind of short-circuit that whole mechanism by bringing the government in, and that's what stops those market corrections.
Right, right. You know, it's so funny. I see a former President Trump is trying to sue to get back onto Twitter. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm thinking, well, maybe you don't want to go back to Twitter because you're going to be worried that every other thing that you say might be blacked out, you know, find something else. Go ahead.
Yeah, and if you look at the number of Americans who actually use and are active on Twitter, it's such a small percentage. Listen, he was very successful on Twitter. He's good at Twitter. I understand he wants to be on Twitter. But he, like everyone else, these are the rules of Twitter. if Twitter feels that you've violated those rules, you're done. And you may not like it, and people may not agree with that, and they certainly have their right to not use Twitter anymore themselves because they disagree with it. But they shouldn't have the right to force a private company to carry speech that they don't want to. And maybe it's because they disagree with him politically, but maybe it's because what he says is offensive enough that they're worried about their advertisers pulling money from those accounts, and they feel like it's not good for their bottom line. I don't know. I'm not inside the minds of people.
No, I think that's... That makes so much sense to me. They are worried about advertising. And, you know, I think the public, when I say the public, of course, those of us that grew up with just television, you know, and we didn't have any of this stuff when we were kids and teenagers and everything, and you felt like you were a captive audience to only a certain number of networks. And therefore, you didn't have an alternative. Now it's easy. Yeah. It's easy to create an alternative, and therefore say, okay, I don't like what they are saying here. I'm going somewhere else.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. So, like, the real response to that captivity was sort of the growth of cable alternatives, and then the market response to CNN being a left-leaning network. Wasn't forcing CNN to carry every opinion. It was the rise of Fox News, and now there's others on the right. And that's what we need to, like, you know, we're really so at the beginning, right, of this social media stuff. There's going to be changes and innovations that we can't even foresee now, but we want to make sure that those are left to happen. And if you start controlling and regulating it from the top down in this clumsy way, you're going to have the problems you always have with regulation. That part's nothing new. But really, it's all relative. Like you were saying, I grew up with TV, and that was it. And I didn't have a platform for my voice or Instagram for my pictures. But now, we're so used to those things now that when they're curtailed or we go to Facebook jail for a week or whatever happens to us, we feel like we're being censored. And of course, that's ridiculous because only the government can censor you. Facebook, as frustrating as they may be, and I completely understand the frustration, or any of these other platforms, they can't come to your house and arrest you. They can't seize your property. They can't put you in jail for what you're saying. All they can do to you is say, I'm not going to host your speech anymore.
We're talking with Jessica Malugan from the Competitive Enterprise Institute, where she is the director of the Center for Technology. My God, Jessica, you must really have your hands full with all these different things now that I think about it when you direct technology. But she wrote a piece called Let the Market Make Corrections and Leave the Red Tape Out of It. And, you know, there's just so much going on out there and people getting onto the internet. And, you know, one of the things they also try to control, I guess, is how people turn on each other, you know, when they're able to hide behind a computer and then they put their little comments and you, of course, you scroll down because you want to read the comments of one person, and then another, then the next one's putting down that person, and then the next one's putting down the person that put the first one down. And everybody's kind of, you know, this free speech thing, everybody is sort of, I don't know. So I'm thinking about, you know, Facebook and Twitter and the others. I guess they want to censor also because they're worried about, I don't know, obscenity, or are they worried a little bit about being sued for some
Yeah, the third-party content mostly they're protected from that. So the Section 230 controversy, I'm sure some of your listeners have heard about it. All Section 230 really does is say, hey, internet platforms, you're not responsible for what people say on your platform. The people who say those things are responsible for it. So if you post something on Instagram, you're responsible for it. And that holds true even if Instagram promotes that post or hides that post or flags that post or removes that post. That's all it does. But I think that what people need to remember is I kind of liken it to how you behave in your car. When you have like this steel shield around you, you act in a way that maybe you would not act if you were standing in line with someone at the grocery store, right? You would never do the things you may or may not do when you're frustrated in traffic. If you are face-to-face with people, and it's a little bit the same way on the internet. Nothing exists on the internet that isn't just already existing in human nature, right?
Mm-hmm.
Social media is not responsible for the fall of mankind. These are just our like less pleasant characteristics as humans. And this is a new venue for that and all the good that happens to on social media. And we need to navigate that and be, you know, more personally responsible for how we behave and what we say. And my rule is if I wouldn't say it to someone's face, I don't say it online. I need to institute more of that attitude in Washington, D.C. traffic now that I'm thinking about it. But that's sort of how I proceed. And I think that, you know, people who have conservative values would agree with that in theory. And I think it's important that, you know, even though this venue is something that's new for us, the rules don't change for how you should behave.
Now, you get all these, you know, these hearings, right? And they haul these, the three top CEOs from Facebook and Twitter and the other one and Google and, you know, and they get them all up there. And then they start, you know, throwing all of these things at them. And then after all of these hearings, nothing happens.
Yeah.
Nothing. So is it a big circus? Do these?
Yes.
It is. Okay. These congressmen, it's not going anywhere then.
No, I would be shocked if it, and I hope it doesn't go anywhere. This is about getting, making political hay, right? Getting your congressman or a senator and you want to get yourself on cable news that night. You want to promote how you're going to run again. This is about getting reelected and showboating and all that stuff. And you can tell because a lot of the hearings aren't even attached to actual pieces of legislation. So this is just a chance to scream at people who are wildly successful and probably politically in opposition to them. And they really enjoy that. And they get a lot of attention for it. And it doesn't really do voters or consumers any good. It's like you said, it's mm-hmm. a circus. And this week you'll see it with the Instagram whistleblower about this internal research. They found that in some ways Instagram can be harmful for a certain section of teen users. Of course, if you look at all the research, it shows that there's a huge amount of benefits to Instagram for the same group, but that's not what's going to be highlighted. And, of course, also they're going to ignore the fact that Facebook is even spending time and energy worrying about it at all is a really good sign that they want to fix it and they feel competitive pressure to fix it. And that means the market's working. So there's no need for the U.S. Congress to get involved. But, again, they can make political points on it, so that's what they're going to do.
You know, it's always been that we've always separated children up to a certain age and said, you know, we can keep certain things from children, you know, whether it's tobacco or alcohol or certain kinds of content until you're an adult, you're not allowed. You try to implement. Well, it's harder when you've got the internet. I mean, I would think, you know, to keep the content away. I mean, they can go pretty much, you know, get wherever they want to go. They know more about the internet than most adults.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's right. And I think that, again, as conservatives, the same rules apply here, right? Our reaction should be, we don't want the government or the laws of the land making it more difficult for parents. But by the same token, this comes down to a lot of parental responsibility. I have two kids. I'm in charge of how much time they spend on their screens and what they're seeing. And it's a pain. I think on balance, having all those things in our modern society is a plus. I'm willing to put up for it.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, this comes down to parents saying, no, you can't have a social media account. No, I'm going to keep access to your phone and check what you're doing and keep up with you. You know, it's sort of the modern day teeth brushing.
Yeah, and the content can be kept from kids because these creators of these products realize that to sell their products, they have to give the parents, in particular, the opportunity to do that. So it is the free market kind of working its magic there as well, correct?
I completely agree. And, the business people who have skin in the game want to keep eyeballs there, so they have to make it safe enough for parents to let their kids be there, have every incentive and also the real-time ability to make sure that those things happen the way they should. And I think that those are two things that are lacking from your politicians, right? They don't know what they're doing. They're not software engineers. And they don't have the incentive to solve the problem. They have an incentive to make voters upset that there is a problem.
Yeah.
So
I'm sorry.
That makes a difference. Yeah. No, that makes a difference.
Yeah. And finally, do you think that any of this censorship attempt by the government's really going to go anywhere? Are we going to finally realize that you're just going to let things go because you're going to have all of these other things popping up as we go along? I mean, do you think they finally kind of are starting to realize that?
I sure hope so. You know, I kind of think of it as like we're in a race here with technology. I think the market's going to come out with some really fascinating fixes to the content moderation problem, the censorship problem. I think that you're going to have these decentralized platforms where the users are in complete control of what they see and who they deal with. I think that's going to be likely the market solution. And I think we're in a race to keep regulations away so that those technologies can come to fruition.
Terrific. Well, Jessica Malugan, thank you so very much for being on. A wonderful discussion. Look forward to talking with you again down the road.
It's always my pleasure. Thank you so much.
All right. Jessica Malugan, the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Okay, we're going to take our break. When we come back, Senators Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, they're being chased all over the place, even into the bathroom. So we're going to talk about all of that with the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Monday. Hey, by the way, to remind you, we have moved a little bit. We are now Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Freedom Works, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, on the great Tantalk Radio Network. And we appreciate it. We used to be that way. Then we were moved to Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, but we're back to Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Kind of, you know, a little more balance, I guess. So we're very delighted to have that. And so here I am looking at the two most important politicians in Washington right now are not Biden or Kamala Harris or Nancy Pelosi or Chuck Schumer. They are Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin. They're both moderate Democrats, and they are senators. I'll tell you how important they are. Kyrsten Sinema was chased from the classroom where she was teaching at Arizona State University into the bathroom by all these liberals demanding she take action on what they call a pathway to citizenship for all these people that are coming across the border illegally. She can't even go to the bathroom now without being harassed. And Joe Manchin was on his, I guess he lives off of a boat. He was confronted by a group of kayakers for his lack of support. What did they, were they throwing oars at him maybe? You know, he's standing up there. By the way, he has a nice boat, I have to admit. He has a houseboat. He doesn't have a regular house. He has a houseboat.
Well, imagine that. Kayakers are just cruising by your boat.
They went after him with a kayak.
What do you got, killer whales out there heckling
exactly.
them,
exactly.
Dolphins are giving
them
the finger?
They were trying to lasso him and pull him into the water where the sharks were.
The dolphins are giving him the finger.
So this is what's going on. Anyway, we got both of the Sorace brothers here with us, Andrew and Angelo. Angelo, these are the only two with the thumbs in the dike right now to keep all of this $1 trillion spending from being launched by these liberals in Washington.
Yes. Just the two of them, Manchin and Sinema. I wouldn't turn Republican, to be honest with you.
I think they might. I'm beginning to think that Manchin and Sinema, I don't know, it used to be that you had some real blue dog Democrats. Remember they used to call blue dog Democrats the
blue dog Democrats,
conservative Democrats. We don't have any more.
No, we don't. There are no more conservative Democrats. They're either liberal, ultra-liberal, or ultra-ultra-liberal.
Yeah. Exactly right. And Andrew, the master barber, I don't know if you've been following that as well. Are you worried that, are you worried about these two perhaps finally surrendering to Nancy Pelosi and the mob and, you know, allowing all of this multi-trillion dollar spending?
Well, if you look at Manchin's record, I say he'll end up going with him.
Yeah, I think you've said that before. You think he's gonna bow down and finally do it, huh?
Oh, yeah. Like I say, if you look at his record, what does it tell you?
Yeah. What about Kyrsten Sinema, Andrew? Do you think she'll hold on? She sounds, she's pretty stubborn.
I don't know too much about her, but being chased into the stall yesterday or the day before there might have made her a little nervous.
Yeah. Yeah. They've chased him into elevators. You know, they've confronted people in elevators. But when you go to the bathroom, can't you at least allow the person to come out of the laboratory before you attack them? This is really getting kind of strange.
They say all those fair and war in politics, right?
I guess so. So I talked a little earlier on the show, guys, about the Supreme Court. They are convening again for the fall, and they got some huge cases. One of them is the abortion situation. There's one in New York, Angelo. Let me find it again here. That is considered a big one, if I can find it. Let's see. November 3rd, the court will decide New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Bruin. It regards whether the state of New York can order citizens who want a concealed carry license to demonstrate a good reason to get one.
Right, yes. That's they're pushing that. And the governor we got now, she's the same as Cuomo.
So is she, in other words, you got to prove that you need to have a concealed gun?
Right, that's what they're looking for.
Well, what are they talking about? I mean, either you are allowed to have it or you're not. What do you have to?
They're pushing the envelope, to, you know, because New York State, they've got this mentality of not the right to bear arms. They feel that we don't have the right to bear arms.
Oh, my God.
They can force on us, that they have the right to tell us that we can bear arms or not.
Yeah. Andrew, what would you do if somebody walked in from the government and said, okay, prove that you can keep your gun?
I tell them I don't have any.
That's good. Just say, what gun?
Permit.
That's right.
Go ahead, Angelo.
I've had it for over 25 years.
I'm sorry?
I have a pistol permit, New York State concealed carry permit.
Yeah.
I've had it for over 25 years. I used to work when I retired from the Postal Service for about 10 years, 12 years. I worked for the American Sportsman. We had firearms and everything like that. And I did the background checks on people when they purchased the firearms and also an NRA instructor.
Okay. Now, when you were, let's say, doing your post office work,
yes,
were you allowed to carry your gun, a concealed gun, say, on your person when you went into the post office?
No. One time at our station, because I had the Bull's Head Station and Thurston Station, two bad areas in town. And Bull's Head Station got robbed one time, and Thurston Station got robbed, and I was working at the Westgate branch, and I got a call that the place was getting robbed. So I got in my car right away, but they were gone. You know, the registers, the place would shut down at 5 o'clock, you know, and they came in with stockings over their heads and everything, and they pointed a gun to one of the clerks, and the door to the register wouldn't open up, you know, with these point of service things.
Yeah.
And she hasn't been back to work since, you know, for a traumatic experience,
yeah,
having a gun pointed at her. There were customers in the lobby when they went in. They were armed at the time. And I'm driving in between traffic trying to get through the, you know, to the place over there to meet the police and everything. And they had already booked, but they didn't get any money. And yeah, always, you know, people in the city, they would purchase money orders. You know, a lot of people still use money orders to pay their bills. And the post office, you know, has a big money order business, you know, and it was always at the beginning part of the month. But they never called anybody. But when I was working in the morning, I always had a postal inspector. They're armed. Postal inspectors are federal agents. They're armed, and they'd meet me in the morning at 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock when we opened up, and they'd sit there with us while the place was open. Wow. You know.
Hey, Andrew, did you ever, without having to, you know, give too many details, did you ever have an opportunity, or not an opportunity, but maybe you were standing in line in a store, or, you know, you were somewhere in a commercial situation, and you had to use your gun, or thought about using your gun, or there was an incident, you know what I mean?
Just one time in my barbershop.
Really?
I was being checked out. Actually, the girls were working one day. I wasn't there. And a gentleman came in, and he had like 3-foot-long dreadlocks, and the girls asked him, can we help you? And he said, I'm just checking out the place, and he literally was. So the next day, I happened to be there, and he came in again. This time, he sat down, I looked at him, and this guy's got 3-foot dreadlocks. He's kind of out of his territory being in a barber shop.
Mm-hmm.
So I just looked at him, and I put my gun on my counter. He got up and walked out.
Oh, I thought maybe you'd go up to him and say, do you want a buzz cut?
And the next day, the policeman came in and showed me a picture of this gentleman. He says, have you seen him before? I said, yeah, he was in here yesterday. And he had held up the Publix at gunpoint on 580. Oh. He held up where 7-Eleven is now. It's a Circle, or Circle K. It's a 7-Eleven now on 580 and a jewelry store.
No kidding.
But he didn't bother me for some odd reason.
Oh, that was, and yet the day before or whenever he had come the first time, you were not there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's right.
Wow. That's very interesting. Well, you know, there's always these gun cases that come up before the Supreme Court, and they got this one going on in New York. I wonder which way that will go. We got more of a conservative bent now, Angelo. I would think that maybe they're going to pretty much say, you know, you don't have to come up with an alibi for a concealed carry.
Well, I'm hoping that they side along with us. I mean, going against it is going against the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Well, look at the CDC. CDC last week.
Since the Democrats are in, you know, they're pushing their agenda because they got the White House, they got the Congress, and they got the Senate. So they're feeling their oats right now, and they're trying every angle they can to disarm the American public and, you know, try to go against the Constitution. And hopefully the people we have on the Supreme Court, except for the liberals that are on there that don't believe that we have the right to bear arms, you know, I hope they side with us.
Yeah. I mean,
I'll tell you guys this.
Go ahead.
The American people will never give up their guns. Okay?
Right.
They can put in whatever they want. It's not going
to
happen.
So Beto O'Rourke better stop talking about coming to get your guns. He'll have a basket in his hand saying, deposit your guns into this basket. You can no longer have them.
I think he'll get tired of others before that happens.
I wouldn't want to have that job.
No, I wouldn't either.
I don't think they'd be able to get life insurance.
I'm from the government. I'm here to collect your gun. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm, that'll work. No, I don't think so.
We as Americans have got to fight back. I mean, we have to be more vocal because as Republicans, they're not as vocal. You know, like Kamala Harris.
They got pretty vocal at the NASCAR race this weekend.
I can see that.
You're
very vocal.
Andrew, I don't know if I should even bring this up, but it's on the news, so I'm going to ask you. You know, Governor DeSantis' wife may have a little cancer situation. Have you heard about this?
I haven't heard about that yet. I know that Ron took off to go up to Tallahassee this morning.
Well, just
his wife has been there, yeah.
Yeah, Casey DeSantis is his wife, and she apparently has been diagnosed with breast cancer, and actually he has Ron DeSantis has acknowledged, he said, "I am saddened to report that Florida's esteemed First Lady and my beloved wife have been diagnosed with breast cancer. As the matter of three young children, Casey is the centerpiece of our family and has made an impact on the lives of countless Floridians through her initiatives as First Lady. As she faces the most difficult test of her life, she will have not only my unwavering support, but the support of our entire family, as well as the prayers and well wishes from Floridians across our state. She's a true fighter. She will never, never, never give up." So there you you have a statement from Ron DeSantis. Now, Andrew, you know both Ron and his father. I don't know if you did. Are you familiar? Or have you spoken ever with Casey DeSantis?
A couple of times.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
A couple of times when they were at events.
Yeah.
I was talking with her. Yeah.
Well, she's in our prayers. I mean, my goodness, such a common disease, is it not? You know, breast cancer. So many people have been affected by cancer, and breast cancer is a very common one.
Yep. But, you know, you don't hear much about anything today except for COVID.
True. By the way, speaking of that, how is your beloved wife who has been battling that virus?
She's coming along, and she's still having problems holding oxygen without the oxygen on. So I'd say it's going to take another month or two.
Wow. That's been a tough battle with your wife Nicole on this one. I'm truly, you know, we're all praying for her as well.
Yeah, it's been over 2 months.
Yeah, gentlemen, it is a pleasure to talk with both of you. Andrew, don't call in tomorrow. I ain't going to be on. It'll be on Wednesday.
I'll try and remember it.
I know you will. All right, guys, thanks so much.
Have a good one, Paul.
All right, buddy. There they go, the brothers Cerisi. All right. Let us take our final break, and when we come back, we're going to give you the top 10 best-selling beers in America. We're also going to talk playoff baseball with Big Ed. I'm a gonna raise a
fuss, I'm a gonna... This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Hello, this is Marvelous Marv, speaking to you from my undisclosed hidden location. I will be with you on the first Monday of every month on the Tantalk Radio Network at 9 p.m., playing great doo-wop and classic golden oldies, maybe even a little commentary. Until then, ciao.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Back on Freedom Works. And by the way, I want to remind you that if you cannot listen to us live Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, you have the choice of listening to us on podcast, because Big Ed, bless his heart, puts us on podcast, and you just have to go to our website and click on the podcast button. So go to OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Look at the top, there's the podcast button, and away you go. All right. Well, did you know that that California Governor Gavin Newsom survived the recall vote, right? So now he's got a new vaccine mandate. targeting school-age children. He says all of them, at a certain age, up to a certain age, have to get the shot. All of them. First of all, how are they going to do that? And how long will it take for that to occur? And there's a bunch of physicians that are saying, you know, what are you doing? Here's one. This is a Dr. Hooman Hamadi. He says the decision that the governor made is one that really is based on personal belief, that's based in politics. Basically, he's saying it's not a medical decision. He said, the one thing I'm taught, we should all practice with evidence-based medicine. And the evidence-based decisions need to not just extend to the doctor-patient relationship, but to policies made by politicians. So Newsom announced last week all children over 12 who are eligible must get the vaccine in order to go to school. So what are you going to do if they don't have it? Are they kid going to be forced to stay out of school? How are you going to prove it? You're going to have the teacher stand there, the principal, as they come through the door? This is so stupid. It's political, I'm sure. And here's another question. Are all the teachers in California going to be vaccinated? Look at the teachers' union. They're fighting it. They don't want the teachers to have to be mandated to get the shot. This is crazy. But he's going to make the kids get it. Crazy.
The whole thing's crazy. Yeah. It doesn't stop there. It's, you know, you've got nurses being fired.
Yeah.
And then on the other side of their breath, they're saying, we have so many COVID cases, we're running out of nurses.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, Ed and I have both gotten the vaccine. We think it's good. And we're fine. But, I mean, forcing people and then saying you got to all get it done or nothing, you know, that goes wild. All right, Ed, before we get to our top 10, which, by the way, is a good one, we got the playoffs coming up for our beloved Tampa Bay Rays, and they are going to be playing, I think, the winner of the, is it just a one-game thing between the Yankees and the Red Sox? Wow, I am so excited watching the Red Sox-Yankees play just because those two teams are always exciting.
Well, first off, Friday night they beat the Yankees, and then Saturday night they just crushed them.
Yeah.
I think it was 12-2. I mean, just flat-out whipped them, and, you know, it was such a delightful sound at Yankee Stadium to hear them booing their own team. You know? And then the Rays, they lost the last yesterday. If things had gone the other way and they only lost 1-0, if the Rays had beat them and swept
would they
them,
have eliminated the Yankees?
No, the Yankees, the Red Sox would be the number one seed, which they are right now for the wild card. The Yankees the Blue Jays would have had to have had a playoff game. Then the winner goes to the Red Sox and play the Red Sox.
Oh, I see what you're saying. They would have allowed Toronto to have, because they all had
the Red Sox had 92 wins.
And, oh, my God.
And the Yankees would have been stuck at 91 along with the Blue Jays.
So anyway, what we've got is, in the American League, the winner of that game playing the Tampa Bay Rays. Is that correct?
Yes, and the one-game playoff between the Yankees and the Red Sox will be in Boston.
It'll be in Boston. All right.
Yes.
And so what day will that game be?
I believe it's going to be tomorrow.
Tomorrow, Tuesday.
Yes,
so,
Tuesday.
So that means that, will it be Thursday that the Rays will host one of those two teams?
Yes, the first game will be here.
Okay.
So the next thing will be interesting to see what the Trop is going to look like. Whether the upper deck will be something affordable, like they did at the end of the year.
Are we going to have any fans showing up for this game?
Yes, but I would like it. I would like the owner to make it affordable, like he did the last.
Yeah.
That was the problem. Remember, we were only getting 8,000. We sold out the Trop when he was lowering the ticket prices.
I agree.
You know, $15 general admission, third deck, and then $20 for the outfield, maybe. You know,
and in the other American League series, it's my beloved Chicago White Sox at the Houston Astros.
Yes.
The winner of that will play the winner
of the Rays.
The Rays deal. That will be kind of fun and everything. Yeah. And in the other one there, it's the San Francisco's doing great.
Well,
the Dodgers are there.
The Dodgers and Cardinals are going to have a playoff game.
Right.
They will do the wild card.
Yeah. And then we got the Dodgers.
And you win 107 games, you're a wild card.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. All right. And also, real quickly, that football bounced off the goalpost. Otherwise,
it's called a doink.
A doink. Otherwise, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers would have lost that game, and they won the game. That was a very exciting game, and that was the game that was between the New England Patriots.
Yep.
What do you think? I guess
I'm just glad it was over because I felt like I played the game. I was tired. I was tired of watching it. It was grueling and back and forth, and it was a hard-fought game. It was very wet. The rain was coming
pouring.
Down.
In point, it was all day. All
and
game.
Belichick is Belichick, and that's why he is Belichick, because he knew how to game plan against Tom Brady, and he did his best.
Yeah, and that quarterback that they have in New England,
not bad.
Did a nice job.
Not bad, not bad.
Okay. Yeah. All right. It is time for our top 10, Ed, and it is the top best-selling
beers
in America. And all I have to do is find the sheet, and here it is.
Are we doing a taste test or not?
Well, we could do a taste test. I'm going to ask you at the end what your favorite beer is. But I want to see if you know what is number one, okay?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Top 10. Best-selling beers in America. Number 10, Heineken. Dollar sales, $842 million last year. It's pretty good. Mm. Number 9, Natural Light. Natural Light. Dollar sales, $1,440 million. Not bad either.
That's the economy beer.
You like that beer?
No.
Okay.
Natural Light, no.
Number 8, Busch. It's just called Busch beer. $1.6 billion in sales last year. Number 7. I see this in the store. I've never tried it. White Claw. You ever tried it?
Yeah.
$1.6 billion in sales last year. They had a huge increase. They must be a fairly new one.
That's a mixer. You can mix that
mixer,
with.
Yeah. Huh? Okay. Number 6. I used to drink this all the time, Miller Lite.
Mm-hmm.
Did you like it?
If I can't get my beer, I'll drink that.
Uh-huh. All right. $2.2 billion last year. Number 5, Coors. When I was in Chicago, we couldn't get Coors for years because it was only sold west of the Mississippi.
Right.
$2.6 billion. Number 4, Corona. You like Corona?
No.
Okay, I liked it. $2.6 billion. Number 3. I haven't tried this one. Modelo? You ever tried Modelo beer?
No, that's kind of a Hispanic-type beer. I'm not into that one, no.
It's made by Constellation Brands. $2.7 billion in sales, and they went up 21% last year. It's coming on strong. All right. Number 2. Michelob.
Yay.
Michelob, $2.9 billion. You like Michelob?
Yes. Ultra.
You like Ultra?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. All right, we're at number 1. What do you think, Ed? What do you think's number 1?
I'm going to say... Hang on. Budweiser.
You are correct. I like that. How did you do that? That's funny. Sounded like a frog at first. It is Budweiser. $7 billion. Wow. Dollars.
Hey, remember the Budweiser frogs?
Yeah.
Remember that?
That's what that was.
Good.
All right. Well, thank you very much, guys, for listening to us. And thank you, Ed, for all of those wonderful croaking sounds. We're going to be back on Wednesday, 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Remember this, freedom works. Oh, well, come on, everybody, let's get together.